a single dream to light my way to you.
I know I dream, and I know she does too. Stacy Kent is with me at WBGO and on WBGO, and brought the band and everything after a triumphant week at the Birdland. Good to see you again.
Great to see you. Thanks.
I usually see you either at Birdland or in Montreal.
It's true. We don't meet in here so often.
Well, it's nice to have you here. Usually it's just been you, but I love that you brought Jim and everybody.
I'm loving that we're all here.
And this new album, you couldn't have brought the orchestra, could you?
Well, we're 58 on the record.
Yeah.
So we came as a small five-piece band for you today.
Okay. Well, you'll play orchestrally. It's called The Orchestral Sessions. That's the subtitle of I Know I Dream. And Stacy looks like she's sculpted. I love this photograph on the cover. And it's really you. I mean, this is a definitive album of yours. Even though you don't usually work with a big orchestra, but it's a definitive musically album of yours.
Thank you for saying so. This was a long time coming and a long time dreamt and a long prep. And that is to say, I feel really great about it. We spoke so long dialogue between myself and Jim Tomlinson, my saxophonist and producer and songwriter
and husband.
Partner in everything. And we sat down with Tommy Lawrence, the arranger, and really made sure that we constructed it the way we wanted to construct it, because we're not going to make an orchestral album every single day, and we wanted to get it just right. And I think those conversations at the beginning were so vital, because you know, you sit down and you talk to an architect about where you're going to put the walls before they construct the whole thing, and otherwise you're in trouble. And I think you really need to match the sensibility of that artist, of that singer, and the arrangements. And I think we really got that right. And, you know, there's so many different ways to make an orchestral album, because you have all those instruments, all those voices, all that color, and you can overdo it. And we really wanted to keep our sensibility, keep that intimacy, keep the space and the reflection time and the storytelling all at the center. I would say that I turned to my Brazilian heroes more than anybody and sent out what I really made my reference points. When you listen to João Gilberto on stage with just João and his guitar, he's just João and his guitar. And when he was with orchestra, he's João exactly the same, just with orchestra. Same thing with Jobim. Jobim made such beautiful orchestral records where he kept all of that space and all that intimacy, yet using all that color. And I think that was Edu Lobo as well. My reference points were very helpful in making sure that we could keep that rather than just soaring into this great.
But that's you. That's you as a singer. You're not Ethel Merman. I mean, you don't belt. You are a quiet, intimate. You do the things that are beautifully simple. And I think that's the hardest thing to do in some ways.
Well, thanks. I don't know if it's hard or easy, but it's definitely me. You know, this is about talking to people. It's very human. It's very grounded. And yet you can really soar with all of those instruments. And so we really wanted to get the voices and the instrumentation just right. And so it was so exhilarating to have that dialogue. Where were the alto flutes going to go? Where was this going to go? And to construct it and then watch it come to life and then get on stage with this orchestra, which we do because we're touring it live. Not always. Birdland is just five because, like in here, it's intimate. But a lot of the time we're with orchestra out on the road. And what can I say? It's just the most astounding feeling.
And you were working with people like Chuck Mitchell, who we were talking about before, who I've known forever, and, you know, who's very smart and knows and wants you to be you.
Yeah.
That's why you're on the label.
Yeah.
You know, to be you.
and to do things that are cool, that are different, but also that'll sell. And it's interesting. I mean, there's this kind of professional, commercial, artistic consciousness that goes into an album like this, and it's a lot of people involved.
Yeah.
And thankfully, it comes down to, in the end, you two putting the thing together, and it came out just great.
Well, thanks.
Let's have one of the songs. Let's have Make It Up.
Okay.
Which you have to do in jazz anyway.
The history of love stored every day in songs and books, like some big romantic kitchen filled with way too many cooks. Everyone has got a theory, an opinion, or an angle, and they treat them like they're precious diamonds hanging from a bangle. I love you, and you love me, and I can't tell you why. You'd have thought by now we'd have figured out the reason and the rhyme. You love It's been this way so long that if we knew what we were doing, we'd be doing it all wrong. So let's just make it up as we go along. I tried to work it out myself, I tried to have a plan, but I've always ended up alone, right back where I began. Now with you it's all so easy, there's no reason to look down. So let's just keep on flying with our heads up in the clouds. I love you, and you love me, and I can't tell you why. You'd have thought by now we'd have figured out the reason and the rhyme. You love me, it's been this way so long that if we knew what we were doing, we'd be doing it all wrong. So let's just make it up as we go along. We hold most dear. So here's to happy accidents and playing it by ear. I love you, and you love me, and I can't tell you why. You'd have thought by now we'd have figured out the reason and the rhyme. You love me, and I love you, and it's been this way so as we go.
changing lights.
That's the Changing Lights, and that's Stacy Kent from a new album called I Know I Dream, the Orchestral Sessions. And in the grand tradition of jazz and song, you kept saying in the last time we were talking about you just brought the five. There's four, and you're the fifth, because in the grand tradition of jazz and song, the singer is in the band.
That's it.
There
it's four and one equals five.
So who's in the band?
I love this band.
Who's in the band?
This is a truly inspiring spot to be surrounded by these great guys. Art Hirahara on the piano.
Okay.
Tom Hubbard on the bass.
Hello.
Anthony Pinciotti on the drums.
Hey, hey.
And Jim Tomlinson, whom you already know.
You again.
On the saxophones and flutes.
Actually, it's like Jim Tomlinson, I seem to feel like I've known and we never met until today. And yet I've seen you so many times. I guess the first time was the Oak Room.
Yeah.
It's got to be 02 or 03, somewhere in there.
Yeah. It was a long time ago.
What's the thumbnail? How did Jersey's own Stacy Kent become one of the worldliest singers I know?
This is a story that makes me very happy about, or it gives me a particular philosophy about life in general, because it really was about serendipity. I had absolutely no intention of doing this. I had no guidance on how to do this. There were no musicians in my family. So I feel like fate stepped in and pushed me onto this path. Now, I always sang, you know, and I was known in my circle of family and friends as a singer. My friends would ask me to sing to them, you know, in their ear at lunchtime. And it was a kind of a connection between friends, and I was just always asked to sing. But I knew that I loved to sing, and I loved music, and I was always gravitating towards music, so I was sort of studying it along the way without knowing I was doing it. But I went to college and sought out literature and language and poetry because that's what I knew, and I had a mom and a grandma who were teachers, and that was the world I lived in, which was more of an academic background. When I graduated from college, like so many of us, I was just in free fall, and I wasn't quite sure what I was going to do. I was working towards my master's, and I ended up in Germany because German was my weakest of the languages that I was studying at the time, and I was just there to study. And I met some musicians, and they said, hey, come along. And I started to sing with them just for the fun of it. None of this was a plan.
And also, you study all these languages. I mean, do you sing in German?
I don't sing in German. If I go to Germany, I speak in German. I love the German poets, and I love the language, but I don't sing it. I only sing in the languages that I feel really fit what it is that we do. So, that I do, for me personally. It's very personal. You know, other people have their own...
You sing in French, you sing in Portuguese.
Yeah, and English. So those are the three that I sing.
Well, how many do you speak?
Well, I studied French, Italian, German, Portuguese, and Latin.
Yeah, if you study Latin, you can get into the other romance languages, but German. Verbs in the end.
Very I love weird. A verb at the end.
Verbs in the end of the sentences drove me nuts. anyway, so was magst du? Up next, let's have a song in French. It's a Leo Ferré song, right?
We're actually going to play...
Oh!
We're going to play the Serge Gainsbourg song.
Oh, that's right. Okay. You're right. Both of them, everybody knows Over Yonder, but they don't know as much hereabouts. But they're both, you know... Two of the great chanson creators.
These are the guys that I grew up on because my grandpa lived in France for so many years. And so he's the one who gave me such a love of French poetry and French music and just French culture in general. So Léo Ferré was a huge force in my life when I was a kid. I loved this man. And Serge Gainsbourg, too, who's so playful and mischievous. And I didn't... You know, I couldn't hook into what it meant, the depth of the music. I was just a kid. But it's really...
It's a song called Les Amours Perdus. It means the lost loves. I think every French song sometimes sounds like it's about lost love. But this is one of the... especially beautiful chanson. And here's again Stacy Kent.
Les amours perdus ne se retrouvent plus, et les amants délaissés peuvent toujours chercher. Les amours perdus ne sont pas loin pourtant, car les amants délaissés ne peuvent tout tous les serments de cœur, tous les serments d'amour, tous les serre-moi dans tes bras, mon amour, oh, serre-moi. Toujours, 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 tout. Les amours perdus ne se retrouvent. Les amants délaissés ne peuvent t'oublier. Mes amours perdus hantent toujours mes nuits, et dans des bras inconnus je veux trouver l'oubli. Toi, tu m'aimeras, je ne te croirai pas. Tout reviendra comme au jour de mes premiers amours. Serre-moi dans tes bras, mon amour, oh, serre-moi. Toujours, 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 toujours. Les amours perdus ne se retrouvent plus, et les amants délaissés peuvent toujours chercher.
I was trying to think how to say Singers Unlimited in French, you know, Chanteur, Sans Limite, no, that's boring. But then when we were singing that, it was like, Chanteur toujours, always.
Just to say goodbye.
To Say Goodbye. That's a song of Edu Lobo. And I remember a great recording of Edu Lobo and Antonio Carlos Jobim together singing that song just sung by Stacey Kent.
That's one of my favorite duos. Edu and Tom together. It's astounding to me. And I know so many versions of Edu singing that with other people, but I love that one. I got to sing that with him last summer. We went down to Brazil, Jim and I, to perform with Marcus Valle, with whom we've been playing a long time now. And Marcus, every time we do a show, will incorporate different things, different music, different people. And on that occasion, last August, that was one of the most amazing things that's ever happened to me, because I was on stage with Marcus and Jim and Marcus's band and Edu Lobo, and Dori Caymmi. And I sang next to Marcus, Edu, and Dori all at once. And come on, it doesn't get more magnificent than that. And they asked us to play that as a duo. One thing to say about that is that when we started to rehearse it, I know I do, we've met a few times, but we'd never sung together. I never heard him sing live either. So we were in a rehearsal studio, and that's a really sad song, and I just can't stop beaming. I mean, my heart is pounding. I could hardly sing. I just can't stop beaming. And he's looking at me. He's just singing at me, looking at me, and I'm looking at him. And there are pictures of this somewhere on the internet if people want to see them on our Facebook page or something. And I just can't stop beaming. And he said, "Do you want me to stop looking at you while we sing this?" Because he thought I shouldn't, you know, be so happy. I was on the verge of sort of, you know, ecstasy. It was euphoric. And I said, No, please don't stop. Please don't stop. And we just had a beautiful time together and an amazing connection. And this is a song, I have to say, that this is one of the songs that I have been saying I kept back and didn't record and didn't really play or touch until we did the orchestral record, because it's one of my all-time favorites. And I just guarded it for this occasion, for the special occasion when we would play it with 58 people. It's such a beauty. And again, to me, you know, everybody's going to have their own experience, but to play this with orchestra, it feels so cinematic that I wanted to hear it that way. And so we waited for this moment.
And that's this new album. It's called I Know, I Dream, the orchestral sessions of Stacey Kent. You probably did not hear, or did you ever hear, Jobim live perform?
I never heard him live. And that hurts. That's one of those things that I really missed out on.
He'd have loved you. He loved everybody. That's the twist of it all.
What a heart.
One of the sweetest cats. And you really go into this music. I mean, you really have a feeling for the bossa nova and then some.
Thanks. I think that, you know, you have to find your place. You have to find your color. You know, I know what works well for me. I know what suits me. I feel so inside this. And I think that we're all going to come at it from different angles because we have our own experiences. For me personally, to play this Brazilian music, and it's not just the bossa, because we played a baião when we played Make It Up, Jim and I. Oh, that was one of those moments where we said, "Hey, honey, we need a baião on this album." You know, we play different grooves. We love the rhythms. The bossa, to me, works so well because I do this. It's a visual because I do this with my hands, because you get all of that sweetness and tenderness and melancholy in the melody, right? And you can get as sad and painful as you want. And inevitably, because of the groove, you've got this sense of moving forward. You've got this ever-going propulsion. And my favorite line struck me very early on when I discovered the poet Vinicius de Moraes, as opposed to the composer who composed with the Jobim all the time. There's a line from Samba de Benção, Samba Sarva, where he says, "Samba is the hope of one day no longer being sad." And I love that because they are so good at recognizing the human condition, that life is painful. But it doesn't have to be full of histrionics and drama. There's always the hope that tomorrow is going to be better than today. And if that's not the human condition, I don't know what is. And so I love that balance of all that melancholy and that all that feeling of moving forward. So the groove from the guys I'm playing with here, they give me that sense of forward motion, and I get to have this gentle tension with them whilst displaying, portraying, living inside all of this melancholy. And that's what Jobim gave us, Edu gave us, gives us, Dori, João Gilberto. And that's why I've always looked to these guys. I discovered these guys young. I discovered them at 14. My first record was, I'm sure so many of your listeners will say the same thing, my first experience was Get Gilberto. And I fell completely, utterly, madly in love with the voice and the manner of João Gilberto. He was my man. I was just this 14-year-old kid in love with this guy, and I didn't know why. But then later on, I started to realize why there was such a connection.
It's a great conundrum of all music. Like, it's like the blues. How come this music that's supposed to be so sad makes me feel so good?
That's right.
I think some of the Brazilian music comes, I think, from those breezes that come off the ocean. If you're on the beach, you just, you want to fly. You don't want to swim. You want to fly on those breezes. Anyway, you brought some breezes. You've recorded a couple of Jobim's songs wonderfully on this new album, I Know I Dream. You do Double Rainbow and you do Photograph. One of the great things about Jobim is it almost seems like one song. All the songs of his life, one long, beautiful song. I don't think anybody composed melodies more beautifully than Jobim.
No, so you're right.
What do you like about his Photograph?
Well, again, I saved this for this album because to me it was such a visual story. And I love the orchestral aspect of it. But I love his images. I love how much he loves to play with love and his love of Mother Nature. And that force of Mother Nature is always in his music. And that's so important to me. That's how I feel. It's of the earth, but I'm flying too. It's so hard to explain Jobim because he's so many things. But you're right. The fluidity from one place to the next is just, it moves with such ease. And what can I say? I feel so good singing these songs.
Like Photograph.
You and I, we two, alone here in this terrace by the sea. The sun is going down, and in your eyes I see the changing colors of the sea. It's time for you to go, the day is done, and shadows stretch their arms to bring the night. The sun falls in the sea and down below, a window light we see, just you and me. And soon the bar will close for you and me. But there will always be a song to tell, a story you and I cannot dismiss. That same old simple story of desire, and suddenly that kiss. Thank you. see. And soon the bar will close for you and me. But there will always be a song to tell, a story you and I cannot dismiss. That same old simple story of desire, and suddenly that kiss.
That's a song about the bullet train. Is it about the actual bullet train?
Well, it is. It is and it isn't. You know, it. Ishiguro's idea for the lyric and Tomlinson Ishiguro for the song was to make it so that, you know, that Shinkansen goes so fast that you don't know if it's real or you're dreaming. And so
it's
all the imagery.
It's the train that crossed Japan.
It is the train that crosses Japan. Literally, we've been on that train and it's so fast, but you don't feel like you're moving. And so that was his excuse to create all these images that, well, you're half asleep, you're half awake, you're not really sure. You see your old teacher, you know, you see all these people, and that's signature Tomlinson Ishiguro stuff.
Stacey Kent is with me. The new album is I Know I Dream, and that song is on the new album, and about half the songs composed by Jim Tomlinson.
Yeah, Jim with three songwriting partners on this, Ishiguro, as usual, and Jim and Ish have been together for the last 11 years since the album Breakfast on the Morning Tram, and Cliff Goldmacher from Nashville, with whom he's been working, I guess Jim and Cliff now for the last couple of years, still writing for me, and Antonio Ladeira, the Portuguese poet who wrote the lyric for Maizuma Vase. So three different partners and half a dozen songs from Jim, yeah.
So Jim, when you're composing, I mean, you have her voice in mind, but yeah. then do you actually think about who could write the better lyric to fit the voice that you were imagining the music that you are composing for?
Well, it's hard to make lyric suggestions to a lyricist who is also now a Nobel laureate. So,
yes.
So I defer in the most part, but we do have a little bit of back and forth, and he will make music suggestions to me. Ish is a very literate and able musician as well as being a great writer. So we have an interesting partnership.
Rodgers and Hart always said, "Don't ask which came first, the words or the music." But you know, you're working with a Nobel laureate. You're just back from Stockholm, right?
Yeah, we were over there, so we've been doing a bunch of interviews to talk about our collaboration. We were in Stockholm the night before the ceremony, and when he gave his great speech, a really inspiring speech. What a mind! What a human being he is! And you know, there's no way to express how lucky I am to have this songwriting partnership. I think Jim and Ish work so well together. They've got it's really fun to watch them because they have great chemistry. But it's so multi-layered because I discovered Ishiguro, the novelist, way before I knew him as a friend. That came later. I discovered through the BBC because he was on the BBC on a radio show called Desert Island Discs, and he chose one of our records to take away with him for the rest of his life on that game. And I was completely knocked out because I love Ishiguro's work. And, you know, there are those authors. We all have our favorite authors. There are those authors who you feel with whom you just have a connection and you share a vision of the world. And that's how I felt about him. And so when we met, it was really uncanny because it was the same thing with the man. There was great chemistry. And I felt so completely understood as a person, as a singer. He really got me. And the songwriting came really on a whim because we were friends lunching and dining for years before the three of us, well, the four of us, because Isha's wife, Lorna, was there too, but started talking around a table one day, just riffing. Jim might have started and said, you know, we should write a song for Stacey. I don't know how it came up. And he said, yeah. And this fun lunch just started turning into a working lunch. We started talking about the universes that we would create and the song, the particular words that would come out of somebody like me. They really wanted to tailor make it. And we talked about all those elements that you and I are talking about, you know, that sadness, that traveling person who gets a chance to kind of reflect about their life. Ish is very playful with memory, and it's such a fun thing to do in a song because you can kind of go back and forth in a song. You have room for space and time to pass and reflection. And we started talking about all those things and all the details. And 2 weeks after that, nothing riffing of a lunch, he mailed us the lyrics to, so those lyrics did come first, to the Ice Hotel and Breakfast on the Morning Tram. And Jim just started, I would read them aloud to him, and he said he heard the scansion out of that, and he just started to work. And we thought, wow, this is something that really works. We weren't planning the album that year. We were just writing and friends having fun. But it turned into something really magnificent and really very shared and understood, and I felt like these two guys are completely tailor writing for me. So,
and he actually showed up to get his Nobel Prize.
He showed up.
Unlike Bob Dylan.
He did. And he said, you know, he referred to that, of course, because there are only two lyric writers now who've been awarded the Nobel. Bob Dylan, who didn't show up, you're right. And Isha Guru, who I guess decided he would break that, streak.
And you were there.
And I was there. And we talked about the collaboration, which is such an honor for me because, yes, I love working with this person, but I am such, I'm just in awe of the universes that he writes for us, in my lyrics, of course, but also in the literature that he produces for the world, like Remains of the Day and The Unconsoled and Never Let Me Go. And you see a lot of the themes in his writing crop up in the music. What's fun is that in the writing, it's often very, very sad and often quite bleak. And yet I feel there's a lot of hopefulness out of Isha Guru, and I told him that. He reminds me that when we first started to talk at that lunch, that I had said to him, look, you can write me as painful and bleak as you want, but you got to give me, he would hold up his hand like this, just to motion, just a tiny bit. Just give me a tiny bit of hope, he says that I said to him. You can be more playful. You can be lighter. You know, they wrote me, Isha Guru Tomlinson wrote me, Waiter, a Waiter, for example, which, you know, just seems like a lighthearted song. But it's, if you look deeper, it to me, it's like Stevens the butler from Remains of the Day, this man who's unable to express himself. He's so repressed and he wants to do his duty and give his honor. And he sacrifices his own life and his own love and his own emotions. And so they ended up writing a song about it, but on a much lighter level. So he does reuse those themes. And that's such joy for me to find them in my own lyrics.
There are a number of Jim Tomlinson and Kazuo Ishiguro songs on the new album, I Know I Dream, and on others you have recorded, and we'll keep on singing and keep on creating together, I expect, indeed.
Yeah.
And tell us again who's with you.
This magnificent band with whom I'm playing a lot these days and loving, Art Hirahara on the piano, and Tom Hubbard on the bass, and Anthony Pinciotti on the drums, and Jim Tomlinson on the saxes and flutes. And this is good chemistry up here with these five.
Well, let's get chemical with another of those songs. I love this. It's one of my favorite things that you've recorded. And it's, again, it's about a train.
It is. So this is Breakfast on the Morning Train, and it's really a song about heartache and how to get over that heartache. Again, Isha Guru, for those Isha Guru fans out there, this is a theme that crops up in The Unconsoled, which was the first Isha Guru novel I ever read, I think. early on anyway, when I discovered him. And so he presented this and gave us The Unconsoled as song, and another Tomlinson Ishiguro beauty, Breakfast on the Morning Tram. So here you are in this city, with a shattered heart, it seems. Though when you arrived, you thought you'd have the holiday of your dreams. You'd cry yourself to sleep if you could, but you've been awake all night. Well, here's something you need to do with the first hint of morning light. Walk right across the deserted city to the Boulevard Amsterdam, and wait there for what the citizens here refer to as the breakfast tram. Climb on board, you'll soon manage to find at the far end of the carriage the most wonderful buffet. There's everything you'd want to eat. You can take a feast back to your seat, whatever you can fit onto your tray. And the mist on the windows will start to fade as the sun climbs higher in the sky. And you can sit back with your cafe au lait while outside the waking sea clatters by. So things didn't quite meet expectations, but you're bound to conclude upon reflection there's no reason you should give a damn. Just treat yourself to a cinnamon pancake. Very soon you'll forget your heartache when you have breakfast on the morning tram. It'll be quite quiet when you first get on, but as that tram keeps moving along, it'll fill with people starting on their day. They'll be laughing and joking as they eat. They'll be passing plates along the seats. Your night of heartbreak will soon seem far away. And even though you're a stranger, they'll make you feel right at home. They'll be offering to refill your coffee. They won't have you sitting there alone. Cause they've seen one of them has had it happen to. So just enjoy your scrambled eggs and ham. Just treat yourself to a cinnamon pancake. Very soon you'll forget your heartache when you have breakfast on the morning train. Even though you're a stranger, they'll make you feel right at home. They'll be offering to refill your coffee. They won't have you sitting there alone. Cause they've seen many others just like you.
so just enjoy your fresh croissant and jam. And don't neglect the Belgian waffles. You'll soon forget all your troubles when you have breakfast on the morning train.
Stacey Kent, thanks for all the trains, and thanks for all the dreams. The new album is called I Know I Dream. Thanks for being with me on the WBGO.
Thank you. Such a joy to be here. Thanks for the invitation.